All right, we are talking this fall about spiritual practices. We started last month talking about those spiritual practices that are done collaboratively within a spiritual community like this one, spiritual practices that require several people practicing together, each adding their piece to a collective action. Spiritual practices of that type include things like communal worship, such as we do every Sunday, singing together, as when we sing hymns in worship. You could also include under this kind of communal spiritual practice category, things like religious education, when the members of a spiritual community gather together for a class or a scripture study or a discussion group. You could also include under this category of spiritual practices the spiritual practice of prayer, in the case where a worship leader says to the congregation, "Let us pray," and then leads the community in a collective prayer, the operative word being us in that case. But mostly when we pray alone. It's a solitary action. You pray silently, alone. During our worship on Sunday, we have a time that's set aside for meditation and prayer. So you might pray at that time, surrounded by your spiritual community, but your prayer then is a solitary spiritual practice. You alone with your own thoughts and feelings. In the Gospel of Matthew, just before Jesus introduces the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives this advice about what the spiritual practice of prayer should look like. He says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." So outside the digs at the street preachers and the pagans, Jesus' advice, according to Matthew, is to pray privately and to keep it short. Jesus does not say that prayer should be silent, necessarily. He says to pray in your room with the door closed, so alone, but perhaps speaking softly or perhaps just thinking your prayer. And Jesus says not to keep on babbling, which may mean to keep your prayer brief, but it could also mean that praying doesn't require words at all. It may mean that once you've expressed in your prayer what you need to articulate in words, that you can then just be silent, but keep praying. Perhaps Jesus means that prayer doesn't have to be words spoken out loud or words articulated silently in your thoughts, but prayer could be the non-language language of your heart, the feeling of prayer, the sense that you know deeply what is moving in your spirit and your inner feelings of care and compassion and love and hope commune directly with that universal spirit of care, compassion, love, and hope. So there is no need to formulate words around those feelings. You don't need to explain your prayer. Just pray. Maybe prayer can be service to others, as in that Unitarian affirmation statement arranged by L. Griswold Williams that Wendy read as our opening words this morning. Perhaps prayer is not an intentional time of praying, but prayer is simply an attitude about the way that we live our life, appearing constantly through every thought and deed. There's a famous quote that's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, although there's no evidence he ever actually said it. "Preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words." the best testimony for a healthy spiritual life is the living, not the testifying. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Christian community in Thessalonica, and he did write this, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Pray continually. That's a pretty hard commandment for those of us who hardly ever pray at all, or never pray. But here's what I want to say about prayer. Okay, so intellectually, prayer makes no sense. The form of prayer that asks God or some spirit of the universe to do something supernatural for us or for someone that we love makes no sense. It's bad theology. Imagine, to use an example, a mother whose son is about to go off to war praying, "Please keep my boy safe." If there is a universal spirit of divine love, greater even than our human love, then certainly that spirit of love already wants to keep that boy safe, just as much as the mother does. As Jesus says in Matthew, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." The universal spirit of divine love does not need our prayers to be persuaded to love that boy. The universal spirit of love already loves that boy. And if there is a universal spirit of love with supernatural power to alter events in the natural world, in other words, capable of keeping a boy safe when otherwise confronted by some danger, then you would have to logically, intellectually wonder, how can such a supernatural power exist? Where is the evidence for such a supernatural power? And upon what evidence would you ever be able to distinguish the action of a supernatural power from the kinds of natural powers, some of which are pretty amazing, that we see every day? And then there's the further logical, intellectual question. If such a supernatural power does exist, capable of keeping boys safe in times of danger, and that power is attached to a universal spirit of divine love, greater even than a mother's love for her own child, why doesn't that supernatural power keep every mother's child safe at all times? And certainly, what kind of system would it be where divine protection is only available to those who pray about it first? Certainly not a divine system, certainly not a loving one. So let's admit, there is no intellectual reason to pray. But we are more than intellectual. Unitarian Universalists pride ourselves on being smart about religion and other things, and we are smart. Good for us. But we are more than smart. We are more than brains. We are also hearts and spirits and feelings and emotions and inarticulate cares, compassions, love, and hope. When I stand beside the chalice as you come forward to participate in our ritual of joys and sorrows, I pray for each of you as you take your moment at the altar. I don't know what joy or sorrow is turning in your heart as you hold the stone, but I pray with you. I pray my love for you. I pray for your health and your healing. I pray my hope that you might feel my feeling as compassionate and companionate to your own, that in your joy or your sorrow as you're standing there, that you are not alone. Your spiritual community is with you. And when I take a final stone and I drop it into the bowl of water at the end of the ritual, I say to myself a specific prayer. I pray for my husband. I pray right now for a friend of mine who is going through a difficult experience with cancer. I pray for my mother and father every week. Sometimes I pray for this country. I pray for folks facing wildfires or other natural disasters. I pray for this church. And I pray for every one of you in this congregation. It isn't necessary to use words. How ungenerous it would be to tell that mother praying for the safety of her boy that her prayer is silly. That at that moment of heartbreak, her prayer makes no sense. We are more than sense. Let's debate our theology in religious education classes, and not at the altar, or at the bedside, or on the sidewalk as our loved one steps into a car to be taken away from us toward an uncertain future. Please keep my boy safe is the expression of the heart and the soul, not the brain. It is the heart's longing, the plea of a mother's love who knows the danger of the world. It is not a prayer that asks God to insert God's presence into a situation where God would otherwise be absent. It is the act of a mother inserting herself into the situation, hoping to surround her boy with a protective bubble of mother's love as he steps away into a situation where she cannot be present. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. And while I'm combing my hair now and wondering what dress to wear now, I say a little prayer for you. What Aretha is really singing, and anyone in love is singing and praying along with her, is forever and ever you'll stay in my heart, and I will love you forever. Don't let your mind stop your heart from praying.